This morning we start with a reading from Exodus chapters 1 and 2, starting at Exodus chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 8. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Then Pharaoh commanded to all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with broom and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of the Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying and she took pity on him. "He must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Now, our second verse is from the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 11. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about burial. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict.
And I feel that I must say the word of the Lord. You felt it. You just had to get it out. I know. Lynn, what a beautiful, beautiful piece. We had an illness that changed our plan, and she stepped in at the end of the week, and I'm so grateful for that. And if we talked about bringing a few more kids, Simon's second birthday is being celebrated with the gift of these flowers. So Simon is up with his family at the lake all summer and they will be back, but he turns 2 apparently right around now. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, illuminate our hearts to the movements of you in the world. You are the faithful God, and so we ask you to speak, word of God, speak, that we might hear what you would say to us today. Amen. A little reading about Moses. Moses is one of the most prominent figures in the Old Testament. His story is told through the entire book of Exodus, which is the second book of the Bible, and he is mentioned in almost half of the other books of the Bible. The story of Moses is epic, a tale of suspense and danger and miracles. And as I speak of Moses, you might already have in your mind a picture of him. Perhaps you picture Charleston Heston, the Moses of the 1956 mega movie, The Ten Commandments. Or maybe you're a little younger. And you picture the voice of Val Kilmer in the 1998 animated movie, Prince of Egypt. Anyone remember Christian Bale? 2014, Gods and Kings. So it begs a question, a little out there, but it begs the question, who would you choose to play you in the Hollywood movie of your life? Now, if you know right away and you want to shout it out, I would take a few. No, no one.
I will.
Go ahead.
My name is Holly Hardy, and people are always confusing me with Helen Hunt because we have the same initials.
Helen Hunt. That's fantastic. All right. Very good. We live our lives day by day. But in the looking back, each of our stories has unexpected twists and turns that have led us to where we are right now. In Moses' life, although one of the most dramatic, was ultimately another character in his story that shines through. The nature and faithfulness of God radiates as God rescues and delivers his people out of slavery, honoring the covenant promises that he made to them. And Moses' life points to God's faithfulness because our God is no ordinary God. And God will do it again. Moses rescues the people, and it foreshadows Jesus, the one who permanently frees us from the bonds of slavery. Moses is born into the story of Israel at a treacherous time. The Egyptian ruler is threatened by the rising number of Israelites. God saves Moses, and from this story, I have three observations for today. First, that God sees, cares, and will act on behalf of his people. Second, that God is at work before we even see or know it. And third, what may seem like an accident is often really God's plan. So let me first orient you about how we get to our story today. Genesis ends with Joseph's entire family, 70 in all, moving to Egypt to escape a terrible famine. God has used the mistreatment of Joseph by his brothers as the means of their salvation from starvation. And all settled in Egypt, Exodus begins with this subtle line. Verse 8, now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. The Hebrew people are doing hard labor, building Egyptian cities and making bricks from straw. It's forced labor, not just hard work. The text says that the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly, a word that shows up twice to describe their conditions. God's people are in trouble. Their lives are oppressed and harsh, and then it gets worse. The Pharaoh, who did not know Joseph, didn't know or remember the accomplishments of Joseph, how he predicted and prepared for the famine. That new Pharaoh has become fearful of revolt. This new Pharaoh has no sense of history and is afraid of the vast number of Hebrews, some estimates say up to a million, and that they could band together with an enemy and take over the country, seizing power. So he orders that all newborn boys must be thrown into the Nile. This is the setting with which God is about to enter. God sees what is happening, he cares about the burdens of his people, and he will act. God sees and cares and is motivated to act for his people. God says as much in Exodus 3, verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. This is also true of our lives. When we find ourselves in harsh, bitter life situations, we can be confident that God has not abandoned us. God is not asleep at the wheel. No, he sees our trouble, our struggle, our need, and he is prepared and motivated to act. And he will show us his loving hand. In this, we can be confident. Even so, It's hard when we can't see Him working. It's hard to wait for God to change our situation. And it's hard to figure out what He's asking us to do. But God was at work in the Egypt story. Yet all the people could see at the moment was hard work and risk to every newborn son. In this trouble, God was preparing to act through the birth of one newborn son, and it was the start of a 80-year plan. Not a one-year plan, not a five-year plan, an 80-year plan of action. Even as God was at work, Moses' parents, a couple from the tribe of Levi, had no idea what the outcome of their actions would be. They hid their baby boy for as long as they could. At 3 months, perhaps the hiding became too dangerous because they chose to act. They waterproofed a basket and gently left their baby among the reeds. His sister Miriam kept watch and conveniently showed up to offer help at just the right moment. What they may not have known was that God was in this. He orchestrated what they could not imagine. Before they knew it, Pharaoh's daughter rescued their baby from the water. God was at work. So God was at work even before we see or know it. Imagine that this what it was like to be his mother. Her desperate act demonstrated a tremendous trust in God. Surely she hoped God would save her baby, and he did. More than that, Moses' mom would be his nurse for the next 3 years, and she would get paid to nurse him. Go figure. And don't miss the foreshadowing of another amazing and miraculous birth, the birth of Jesus, born in a stable, placed in a manger by a young virgin mother, fully an act of God. It reminds me of Psalm 139. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. While we're on the subject of babies, aren't babies the ultimate act of possibility? We have no idea what that baby will grow up to be, who that baby will grow up to be, and what that baby will do. Yet before a single day is lived, God knows. And we have the excitement of new babies on the way in this place. A virtual baby boom. Two babies are expected in November. I look to the balcony. What does God see that we cannot even imagine? What will it be like for these precious ones to grow up among this loving congregation? God works through people, and each of us arrives as a helpless babe. Let's be praying for these November arrivals. Because God sees, cares, and is motivated to act for his people. God is at work even before we see or know it. And 2 centuries later, we know what's coming. We see the irony of a baby that should have died under Pharaoh's edict, growing up in Pharaoh's palace, only to return and disrupt Pharaoh's whole kingdom. We know where the story's going. But observation 3, what seems like an accident was really God's plan. Moses' life was preserved. His parents taught him faith in God, and he was raised in the Pharaoh's house. None of this was an accident. God's greater purpose was at work as he responded to his people's suffering. He chose a particular person, Moses. He preserved his life, enabled him to grow up in a truly unique circumstance with unique understanding and perspective. And God's purpose was not visible for years and years. It reminds me of the Old Testament prophecies of a Messiah. A suffering servant out of the line of David, from the stump of Jesse, a baby born and preserved into another turbulent time, with a King Herod feeling threatened about that baby. And the God of Moses is our God. The God who saves and provides and rescues, he is no ordinary God. And your life is no accident either. We may not always see God's hand in the events of our lives, but there's a saying that says, coincidences are God's way of remaining anonymous. The Lord is always at work, sometimes behind the scenes, choosing us, preparing us, determining the course of our lives, and sending us to do good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. God sees, cares, and acts on the behalf of people. God is at work even before we see or know it. And what may seem like an accident is really often part of God's plan. When we fully grasp these ideas, we can receive what is offered. Salvation from a God who sees, cares, and acts on our behalf. Trust that God is at work even when we are unaware. And wonderment at what may seem like random circumstances turning out to be an intentional path or opportunity for our lives. Remember that movie of your life? Take a moment and picture it a little further. Picture it on the big screen. How does it open? With a baby in a basket, maybe? A birth in a blizzard storm? Or maybe you arrive in the usual way. What were the moments in your life where you knew that God saw, cared, and acted on your behalf? When can you notice that God was at work before you even knew it? Often in movies, a detail from the beginning comes back as a surprise that causes the ending to make sense. Lessons learned, perspective gained, appreciation for something you once took for granted. Sometimes the accidents of our lives shift us. They shift our relationships or our feelings toward God. Yet in retrospect, God uses the unforeseen to redeem, set right, and provide for us. So much of our lives is unexpected, and often God brings forth good. Romans 8 reminds us that God causes all things, even the hard things, even the bad things, to work together for good in our life. All things work together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God worked his faithfulness in Moses' life, which was a journey of faith. And God worked in the lives of the Israelites as he began a plan to rescue them. And God has worked individually in our lives, drawing us to himself, saving us. And he will continue a journey of faith with us because he is faithful. May we find confidence in God's faithful watch over our lives. He is no ordinary God. He is the God who saves. And next week, stay tuned. Another chapter in the life of Moses, A Journey of Faith. We will glimpse another aspect of God's character and follow where it is that he leads Moses. But for today, may we find that God has a nugget of hope or truth or inspiration for us today. A good word that will carry us through and will carry us through each part of the epic tale of Exodus. Let's end in a word of prayer. Father, as we enter into the great story of Moses, may we see you at work in our own lives. May we trust that you are working on our behalf, that you are guiding us, that you are thinking of things we haven't even begun to consider. So for each of the needs here today, I pray, Lord, that you would assure and act and bring forth hope. In Jesus' name, amen.